This is Full Circle with Ruth Fisher on Jazz FM. Listening Colour.
Up above my head, I hear music in the air. Up above my head, there's a melody so bright and fair. I can hear when I'm all alone, even in those times when I feel all hope is gone. Up above my head, I hear joy bells ringing. Up above my a God somewhere. There must be a God somewhere. Up above my head, I hear music in the air. Up above my head, there's a melody so bright. Up above my head, I hear joy bells ringing. There must be a God somewhere. There must be a God somewhere. La da da.
Up above my head from the brilliant debut album, A Social Call, from my very special guest tonight, Jazz Mayor Horn. Now, earlier this week, I stayed up to the wee hours of the morning, and I can tell you, it's not an easy thing to do on a school day, to watch the live streaming from Dizzy's in New York of the CD launch of this album. And I have to say, it was one of the most wonderful gigs that left me with a feeling that I, along with hundreds from around the world watching this online, that we were witnessing one of the most exciting vocalists on the jazz scene at the moment. And I was lucky enough to catch up with Jazmia the following afternoon as she was looking after her daughter, who you'll be able to hear in the background every so often. We talk about the album, her influences, how she got to this point of releasing this debut, brilliant debut album. But I also wanted to know how she felt the gig went the night before.
I felt that it went well. I was very nervous for the first set. There were a lot of people from all over the world. There were people from London. There were people from different parts of Germany. There were people from Australia. I did a gig in Australia, the Generations in Jazz Festival, actually last week. And there were some people from Australia there. So I was very nervous just with the population of people like coming, gathering from different places. It was a bit overwhelming for me because I wasn't expecting it to be this amazing. And then when I got the energy from the crowd and how happy they were and excited that they were to be there, I just kind of fed off of that energy and just gave them so much love and light. And then it became blissful.
I have to say, I had no idea you were slightly nervous because that was really quite a performance. So Social Call is the name of your album, and it is your debut album. And what I found so fascinating about it, that it's a combination of jazz standards, but also a couple of well-known popular R&B songs like The Stylistics, People Make the World Go Round, even Norman Whitfield's I'm Going Down. What made you choose this particular combination of the different tunes?
Well, the choice for the songs on A Social Call came to me because I wanted to make sure to reach all different realms of people. There are some people who really don't like straight ahead jazz, and it's not because they don't like the way it sounds, it's just because they're not familiar with it, or maybe they've never heard it before, or you know, certain things like that. And I wanted to appeal to everyone. You know, I understand that there are people like that in my community. I understand that there are people like that in other countries, but then I also understand that there are extreme jazz lovers like myself, and a lot of my musician friends and a lot of the people that I associate with. And then there are people who are much older than me who like jazz music, but they like a lot of the, you know, they would appreciate, I felt that they would be appreciative of the, you know, Negro spirituals and the Moaning, with the lyrics from John Hendricks and the, you know, the music from Art Blakey. They would really resonate with that type of, that's where the older generation, I felt that they would really resonate with that.
Right.
And so I just kind of wanted to, and then the arrangement of People Make the World Go Round and I'm Going Down would kind of be, you know, appeal to the younger audience, you know. So I kind of just wanted to make sure that it was eclectic and well-balanced for everyone.
Right. What's interesting about People Make the World Go Round is that, as we know, it was done by the Stylistics. And it was done in the early 70s, I would say. And it's sort of...
64.
64. Wow, even earlier. And it's such a relevant song then, as it is today, which is fascinating that you chose that particular tune, given what's going on in the world at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to. Because, you know, all of that stuff is relevant to today. It just speaks to what we're going through and what we face in today's society or in today's world, in today's universe here on Earth. And even though it was, you know, something that was spoken about then, I felt like I needed to put a twist on it so that the people could hear it in my voice, because there are a lot of people that are coming into the universe now that have never, like for my children, for example, my children, they've never heard the Stylistics version of People Make the World Go Round. And so when they hear my version, they're like, oh, that's mommy's song. They just think that it's, you know, something that I wrote or I composed because I put my own, right, you know, voice into it, which is what the arrangement's about.
Yeah, and well, it definitely is your own voice, and I would say that this is another fascinating aspect of the album, is that you've taken these particular standards and yet you have made it your own. So how did you do that?
It was something that came to me. I didn't even have to think about it much. I don't even remember. I just remember, I mean, these are songs that I grew up with. So like People Make the World Go Round, I'm Going Down. When I was a child, my mom would play this stuff from the radio or from the records, actually. Mm-hmm. And these are songs that just resonate with me because I've known them since I was a child. And, you know, when something is in your head and you remember the lyrics, and after a while you start to like kind of recite the lyrics, or, you know, you might hear a song that you really like. Mm-hmm. And if it, you know, if it touches you in a certain way, you might want to, as a musician, you might want to explore if it's, you know, something that you could write an arrangement to, you might want to explore that option. And that was just, it was in me. So it wasn't really a choice. It was just like over time, you know, I had written this arrangement, I think in 2011, and here we are in 2017, and I'm just now presenting it to the world. So
amazing.
Sometimes it takes years, sometimes it takes months, but you know, you just get tired. You get tired of you know, someone not picking up your trash because they haven't been being paid properly, or they're not getting enough hours, or they're being fired, or you know, things are happening. That all of that stuff is true, and you get tired of it, you know. And I'm not a protester. I'm not a politician. I'm a musician. So this is my way of expressing my sick and tired of, you know, experiencing those things that we talk about in the music.
Someone says, "How are you?" What I want to say is, well, considering the world is run by corrupt leaders, our food is being poisoned, the meat industry has become a holocaust, the atmosphere is being sprayed with chemicals, pesticides, and poisons. Racism still exists on a high level and is still an issue. There are people dying in the world from starvation and police brutality. While we waste enough food to feed them, bombs, homeless, crime, prisons, junk food, debt, miseducation, pollution, poverty, nuclear plants leaking. I would say I'm pretty concerned right now. But I just smile and say, I'm fine.
Longer, hey. Big man smoking it.
You're listening to Full Circle with me, Ruth Fisher. My very special guest tonight is the wonderful vocalist Jazmer Horn. Now, Jazmer, you grew up in Texas, and I understand it was your granddad that we have to thank for you becoming a singer.
My grandmother, her name was Harriet Horn, and she wanted to be she was a pianist and an organist at our church, but she wanted to be a concert pianist. And because of the racism in the time that she wanted to do it, she wasn't able to. Her story is kind of similar to Sarah Vaughan. Sarah Vaughan wanted to sing classical music, but because she was a black woman, she didn't have the opportunities that some of the other people had in the time that she was around, and so she started singing jazz. The same thing goes for my grandmother. She didn't have the same opportunity, and so she stuck to playing in the church. She gave it up so that I would have a right to sing today, which is why she gave me my name, Jazmia. So we do have to thank her. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So you mentioned that the church was obviously a very big influence on you. But when did you actually then get into jazz?
I was about 15 or 16. I was in high school and I started hearing vocalists like Sarah Vaughan and Little Jimmy Scott and Nancy Wilson and Natalie Cole. Sarah Vaughan, Ella, and I said, this is what I would like to do with my voice. I have a gift and I don't really know how to completely use it. And so the music that they were singing and playing as, you know, artists, as the great singers that they are, just kind of stuck with me and it made me want to pursue music.
Right.
And so I started getting into jazz music after hearing a lot of those great artists.
So then you went from Texas and then you moved to New York and you studied at the school of the New School in Contemporary Jazz. Did you know then that you actually then wanted to say, this is it, I'm going to do music as a career, I'm going to be a singer?
Oh yes, absolutely. Before I moved here, I had decided that this was what I was going to do for the rest of my life. That was not even a question. I just didn't know how. I just didn't know how. I knew that I wanted to come to New York. The scene is great. There's so many exciting people. All of the greatest musicians in the world come here, play here, live here, jam here, teach here. And I wanted to be here. I just didn't know how that was going to happen. And then I got a scholarship to the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music. And I said, oh, this is it. Packing up all my cares and woes. Here I go, New York City. And I'm here and I haven't left. And it's just been great. I've, you know, started from the bottom and now I'm here. And it's beautiful. It's my testimony is that hard work pays off. Cause I remember there were nights when I first moved here and I was working at Applebee's. It's a restaurant, a chain restaurant. And it was a struggle for me to get up every morning at 7 and go to class by 8 and get out of class around 3 and eat lunch really fast so that I can get to my shift at 4 and then knock off at work at 12, leave work at 12 midnight, go straight to a jam session so that I can network and get some of that music into my system and then be home probably around 3 in the morning and do everything all over again. And I did that for the first 2 years of my college career.
Wow.
And it was very difficult. It was very difficult. And now I don't have to work at Applebee's. I am a professional musician and I'm doing what I absolutely love to do, and it's not work for me because I love doing it.
Right.
And it's just, I'm very grateful, you know, the scholarship to move into school was a blessing. Living here and working as a musician, there's so many great musicians here. There's so many great vocalists here in New York. And I'm just really grateful that I have the opportunity to present my music and to actually, you know, be professional with it and feed my children with my career. It's awesome. For a while I drift a bit, little do 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 do. Hey, hot to bit bit do, but I don't know where my man is. Where can he be? What is he doing? I've been asking questions all over town, hoping I'll be found. I'm on the loose, I don't dig it. Take my advice. Don't let him hold on to him tight. Don't let him go. We'll be right back.
From the debut album of my special guest tonight on Full Circle, Jasmia Horn. And in this next part of the interview, I asked her if winning the Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Competition in 2013 and the Thelonious Monk International Vocal Jazz Competition in 2015 had opened doors for her.
Yes, they did. The Sarah Vaughan competition was really great. I was able to meet Larry Rosen, who the late, great Larry Rosen. Mm-hmm. He founded this organization called Jazz Roots, and he put together several shows. There was a lot of shows with Cecile McLaurin-Salvant and Cyril Amay, and he used a bunch of different people, Diane Reeves and Christian McBride, Esperanza Spalding. There was a lot of opportunities for young singers and young coming up musicians that were coming up on the scene. And he kind of opened the door. He's the one who founded the Sarah Vaughan competition. And I think he had been hearing about me or hearing my music on YouTube or something. Mm. And someone told me to audition for the competition and that it might be good for me. And so I did, and I got a chance to meet Larry Rosen. And then the next year, I actually won the competition. So it was good. There were pros and cons. The pros were that there were so many great musicians and great people that I had an opportunity to work with. And then the competition just did so much for my career. People started to notice me in Newark and in different parts of New York that didn't recognize me before. Mm. And the cons were it ended so fast. And then the Monk competition was just phenomenal. Another just power source of musicians and networking and getting to know people. And from this is where the social call actually came from, because I was able to record a record and get a scholarship from the Monk Institute by winning the Monk competition. So it definitely boosted my career 10 times fold, and I'm really grateful for the opportunities. I don't really like competitions, actually. I entered the competitions because I wanted to see if I was actually going to, if I had a shot. I didn't actually think that I was going to win, especially the Monk, because it's so prestigious. I was like, there's no way I'm going to win this competition. I'm just going to enter and we'll see how it goes. So when I got the call back that I had actually won or made it as a finalist, I was freaking out because I didn't believe it. It was just too surreal. And then taking first place was, I don't remember a lot of it. I just remember being extremely happy. That was around the time that I was really coming into motherhood, and my child was about a year. She was just coming into a year, and so I didn't have an opportunity to really soak all of that experience in, because I was, you know, trying to work as a musician and being a mother. That was the first time I ever had to balance that experience. But it was great. Everything was great. Every part of it, I wouldn't change a thing. It made me stronger. It made me a stronger mother. Now I have two little bubbies, and the career is just great. The music is great. I have time for them, and I have time for my music. I have time to write and time for my musicians. It's just, everything is just, it's just great now.
Happy to pass your doorway, gave you a buzz, that's all. Lately I've thought lots about us, so I thought I'd pay a social call. Do you recall the old days we used to have a ball? Not there were nothing without them, I just thought I'd pay a social call. I'd lie and say things are just swell, but to tell the truth, we haven't been too well. And if we should try to love, we know that we won't fall. Maybe we'll
will get back together, starting from this incidental, elemental, simple social call. Happy to pass your doorway, gave you a buzz that saw. Lately I thought lots about us, I thought I'd pay a social call. Do you recall the old days we used to have a ball? But to tell the truth, we haven't been too well. And if we should try to love, we know that we won't fall. Maybe we'll get back together, starting from this incidental, elemental, simple social call. Back together, starting from this incidental, elemental, simple social call.
Social call from this brilliant new album by my special guest tonight, Jasmia Horn. And it was a piece written by John Hendricks, who once said that you are one of the best voices that he's heard in 40 years. That's quite some compliment coming from him.
It is, it definitely is.
Have you actually worked with him now?
Yes, we did a record together, actually. There's a pianist named J.C. Hopkins, and he has a biggish band that he tours around New York and different places with. And he had invited John Hendricks and I as special guests to do one track on his album. And we did the Thelonious Monk tune. Oh, I can't think of the name of the tune. Da do de do de de, la do de do de da, do de do de do do de. Ask Me Now.
There you go. Brilliant.
Ask Me Now. John Hendricks and I recorded Ask Me Now, and it's on a singer's album, J.C. Hopkins' Biggish Band. This is 2017, so that was recorded in 2016, summer of last year. So it was about a year ago when we recorded it. And it was a great experience. He's still, at the age that he has now, he's still got it.
I know. He's phenomenal.
Still got it. I'm still learning from him.
So tell me about the musicians in your band. I mean, they were really super tight last night. Absolutely wonderful to watch. So are these guys people that you play with all the time, or is this something just recent?
It varies. A lot of the musicians that I like to play with, they are so amazing that other musicians call them. For instance, Eric Wheeler, there was a time when he and I were playing a lot together, and Miss Dee Dee Bridgewater heard him, and I haven't been able to play with him since.
Shame.
Because he's so amazing. Ben Williams is the bassist that's actually on the album. Yes. But last night it was Noah Jackson. Noah Jackson and I have been playing together since he moved to New York from Detroit. And he has a great sound, really big sound, and I like it a lot. And he's very articulate with his playing, and I appreciate that. So it's a nice contrast, like having been on the album and having Noah to do the album release party or album release concert, big contrast. And then the drummer from the album was also different than the drummer last night. The drummer last night's name was Henry Conorway III, and he's also from Detroit. And he and I have been playing together for only a year now. And the drummer that's on the album, his name is Jerome Jennings, and I love this brother. He and I we've done a record together, actually. His album is out now, and it's called The Beast. And I'm doing a nice ballad on that album, and it's a really great album. When you have a chance, please check it out, because there are some great songs that he's written on his album that should be heard. And I really enjoy working with Jerome. We have a really good brotherly, sisterly bond, and he and his wife and I are also good friends too, so it's a family affair. And the pianist from the album was also the pianist at the album release last night. His name is Victor Gould. Yeah. Victor Gould has a sister. His sister and I went to high school together back in Dallas. And she told me, she said, "You're going to school in New York?" And I said, "Yes." Yeah. She's like, "My brother's going to New York. You should check him out. He plays piano." And so Victor and I have been playing together since I moved to New York in 2009.
Right.
And I really, he listens to me. He follows directions without directions being verbally given. He kind of knows where I'm going, but it's not like I'm too comfortable with him because there's always a suspense. You never know what he's going to play, and he never knows what I'm going to play. And I think that's what we really enjoy about playing with each other, is that there's always this energy of like us giving and taking and giving and taking, and he stays out of the way, and then I get in the way and I get out of the way and let him do his thing. And it's very beautiful. I really enjoy playing with Victor. And then the horn section, I had to have these guys together because on the scene, they're like the horn players that are just like the greatest. They're like racking the scene up. and then the niche that they have, the bond that they have together is just impeccable. Stacy Diller on tenor saxophone, Josh Evans on trumpet, and I call him Roots. He goes by Root. Frank Lacey on the trombone.
Yeah.
And he's also from Dallas, Texas as well, but he's from another generation. But it was great working with all of these guys in the studio, and no one had egos. They all have great personalities, and they're like, "Okay, boss lady, whatever you need us to do, we're here for you," you know. And we had a great time. And as you can, I don't know if you could see that via our playing last night on the stage, we have so much fun. Like in rehearsal, yeah, it's like down to business, but once we get on that stage, it's like, let go, give yourself to the world, shine your light, enjoy yourself, have fun, and don't miss the hits.
Now, as you mentioned, winning a competition can have its pros and cons, and I guess also uncertainties as well. So, for example, knowing that you'll get the right musicians or the producer for the album, and I know that your producer in this instance, Chris Dunn, was a very integral part of the sound of your album.
Yeah, I really do think that our meeting is divine. Like, all of this is completely divine. I don't think anything is a coincidence. But I didn't know who was going to be producing the record. And when I met Chris Dunn, the first time we had ever met was over the phone. And the CEO of Concord called me. And I assumed that it was the CEO of Concord calling me the day that Chris first called me, because they have the same area code. And I started singing, "Beverly Hills, that's where I want to be," you know, but it wasn't him. It was Chris. And I was so embarrassed because I had never met the guy before, and he just died of laughter. He just bust out laughing, and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm embarrassed." And so that was our introduction. But from that moment on, that was the way we communicated with each other. And you know, there's always a joke, there's always laughter, there's always joy. Chris has a great personality as well, so there was no clashing in the studio whatsoever. From the first moment that we talked, there was never any clashing. And I just think that's very beautiful, that, you know, I had an opportunity to meet somebody who was like, "Okay, what do you want to record? Do you have a sound in mind? Do you have a projection in mind? Do you have a concept in mind? What is your goal? What do you like? What musicians are you interested in using? Let's talk about it. Let me give you some suggestions," instead of, you know, because I've done this before. It wasn't like, "No, you're going to do this, you're going to do that." And everything was very collective. And I'm grateful for this whole entire experience, because it could have completely gone a different way. You know, it's like you win a competition and they say, the winner gets to sign a record deal with Concord. And then, you know, they could be getting anything, but I also could be getting anything as an artist. You know, they might not like my music. They might not appreciate the message that I have. I might not be able to actually be myself. You know, there were so many questions so many things that ran across my mind once I won the competition. Like, oh my God, I didn't freak out, but I just was kind of like, what if, you know, there could be a chance that I might not get to record the tunes that I like, so don't get your hopes up. And then same thing for them. They probably were, you know, thinking, oh God, what if she sang really great jazz at the competition, but she's an R&B vocalist? You know, it could have gone completely, you know, the whole thing was just completely divine.
So we had your CD release party last night at Dizzy's, and you're going to the Jacksonville Jazz Festival on May the 26th. But have you got any plans to come to London?
It's in the works. I'm now represented by IMN, and the associate there, Holly, she's working on putting things together all across the globe. We've been hearing from Japan. We've been hearing from more from Australia, from some of South America. So we'll see.
Fingers crossed. Jasmine, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really truly hope we get to see you over here on our shores.
Yes, absolutely. Brilliant. I'd love, and I'll let you know when I'm in town. I'll definitely let you know.
Great. Yeah. Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you so much.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the roar. The dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. In the morning, find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I see. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Every evening find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. Yeah, but I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Lord, I dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning.
can't find me moaning. Cause of all the trouble I see, life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning.